Hello, everyone. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Willie Morales. And on today's show, I got Martin Sines from, he's the managing partner of BeQuest Funds. Martin, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. How are you?
Good, William. Thanks for having me on.
No, it's my pleasure. So, you know, one of the first questions, Martin, I like to ask everybody is, and for you, were you always entrepreneurial? Was this something, getting into real estate, was this something that was in your blood at the age of five?
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote about that in one of my books. Is age of five, I just went out in the front yard by myself with no direction, supervision. I cleaned a bunch of rocks in my front lawn and went door to door selling the rocks to the neighbors. And so we had some of the neighbors purchase the rocks, and then they went over and told my parents what I had done. But always, you know, in elementary school and high school, always thinking about, you know, how to earn money, how to work, you know, how to work a job. So I always had a strong work ethic. I wasn't real academic in those days. So I was more kind of money driven and work driven.
Did you get advice as a youngster on how to become your own boss? Was that something, did anybody give you any type of advice at all?
I wish. My father worked in corporate America and my mom was a school teacher. Okay. So, I mean, they gave me a lot of what I needed to kind of build a foundation for myself and you know, a lot of quality character, you know, attributes. However, entrepreneurism was not one of them. I had to kind of find my way at a later point in life into entrepreneurism.
And how did you go about that though early on? Was it a lot of reading, a lot of just following maybe some of your mentors that you might have met, might not have met? How did you go about that?
So, you know, I read books from individuals like Ty Hicks and their authors that just wrote about creating a side hustle for oneself, creating mailbox money. And so, you know, that always kind of piqued my interest while I was working a job. But it wasn't until I got fired from a corporate job in 2003 where I really realized, my wife and I, that this just wasn't working. I needed to be doing my own thing. And I wasn't good at politics within a corporate setting. And so, that, you know, that kind of was the changing point in my life. And, you know, obviously I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad and, you know, some of the other greats. I mean,
isn't that like the standard reading book for wannabe entrepreneurs? I mean, that's like the standard book.
If that doesn't light a fire in your under your butt, you know, nothing will.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I need to reread that book. It's been a few years since I read it. So how did you get into real estate? How did you get into that sector?
So after getting fired from the corporate job, my wife and I were researching, you know, things that we could do from a, you know, starting a small business perspective. And I always had a fascination with real estate, and I was doing a lot of research. I was going to different webinars. And so it never, you know, what I kind of gathered from all my education at that point was that I needed to create cash flow. I needed to start a business, create, you know, sustainable cash flow, and then turn that cash flow into, you know, landlording or convert it into, you know, something real estate wise, you know, to create a velocity effect. So that's what I did. I, my wife and I started a museum exhibit company where we sold, you know, basically designed, fabricated, and installed museum exhibits for the federal government. And we did that nationwide. And we went through mega struggles financially in the first 3 years. I mean, we were beyond poor. We were in the negative. And
how did you get out of that though? I mean, what was your mindset? I mean, going those 3 years, because that'll defeat maybe 90 to 95% of people.
It's interesting because we started out with a decision in mind, and that is we weren't going to settle. So a lot of times small businesses, they open the doors, you know, whether it's a retail setting or some home-based business, and they look to sell to anyone who has a jingle in their pockets, and they'll take money, you know, any which way they can, because, you know, that cash flow is the lifeblood of the business.
Yeah.
what we did is we forewent that. We said to ourselves that we wanted to sell directly to the federal government. We wanted to go head to head with the big boys. We wanted those clients to be our clients, because at the end of the day, the pot of gold is when you are close to, in closer proximity, you are to the end client who has the money, who has the deep pockets, then there's significant value in that. So when you're removed, if you're a sub of a sub to the prime, then you're more removed, right? So you have more risk and you may get lower hanging fruit in terms of jobs, but you're getting scraps at the end of the day. So we kind of made that decision, and it was a hard decision because there was a lot of low hanging fruit we left along the way. However, when it clicked, it really clicked. I mean, we locked into some federal contracts with the Pentagon. It was almost an overnight thing. We went from just being broke behind on our mortgage to buying a commercial building and moving our company into that building.
Wow. And then from there, you just started your real estate investing career. So,
yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, landlording. We went into landlording. So we wanted to buy properties. We bought the neighboring building. We bought other commercial and residential properties in the DC area. However, what we realized from that is that small business ownership doesn't give you freedom of time. It really just weighs you down to 100-hour work weeks. And what we found with landlording is it didn't deliver the cash flow that my wife and I needed or that met our aspirations in life financially. So we were kind of at a sticking point in terms of what to do from that point, but we still own the properties and landlording is a great annuity play. We didn't convert it into the needed cash flow that we were thinking it was going to be.
Right. So right now you guys or your company, BeQuest Funds, are in the mortgage note investment industry. So for my listeners, can you explain what a note is?
Sure. So a promissory note is, think about it this way. You go into, you want to buy a house for yourself or your family, and you go into a bank or some lending institution, which is also termed an originator, and you apply for a mortgage. And if they accept you, and what they'll do is they'll give you two documents. They'll give you a promissory note, which means they're lending you money. And you in exchange are promising to repay that money given a certain set of terms, right? Like the interest rate, the monthly payments, late fees, and things like that. Right. Now, with that said, they are also going to give you a document that's going to be called a mortgage or a deed of trust. And what that security instrument is going to do is it's going to tie that promise to the property in the form of collateral. And so what happens though is that originators, they originate these types of loans. However, some portion of these loans that they originate over time become defaulted. And at some point the bank is going to bundle those into a tranche and sell them into the secondary market, which is essentially a flea market for mortgages. So where you have different hedge funds that are buying and selling mortgage loans. And it's kind of crude, but it's true. It's factual.
Yeah.
So, you know, we operate in the secondary mortgage space and we buy pools of performing mortgages that did have some scratch and dent qualities to them. And we also buy distressed debt as well in the secondary space.
Okay. So you do both. So I just want to touch base back on your first property, your landlord experience. So when you first bought it, was that your first investment? That multifamily building?
Yeah, I'd say it's the first real estate investment. My first investment was investing in education and then investing in a small business. Yes, but yes.
So, you know, like always, and I'm pretty sure you run into this when you got a newbie real estate investor, they always, their issue is finding the money. So if you don't mind going into how did you purchase it? How did you come up with the funds for that first purchase?
So I did it exactly how I had envisioned it to happen. And that is start a small business and drum up profit from that business and then use that profit to put as a down payment for the real estate transaction. However, I didn't anticipate the 3 years of you know,
hard work and sweat,
hardship. Yeah. And I didn't envision, like, you know, making payroll day of and, you know, praying that the card would go through at the grocery store. I didn't envision all that, but I did envision profits from a small business by a real estate property. However, those hard points also kind of built my character and made me who I am today. I don't have certain worries and I'm you know, I have a little bit more armor to me as a result of that. But the landlording experience was my first. I've never rehabbed a property.
Right. I mean, but think about it, Martin, you going 3 years where it's blood, sweat, and tears. And, you know, then you finally turn the corner. And I think, and this is a great, as a lesson for all of us, is you persevered, you were persistent, and you were consistent. You never gave up, you know? And I think that's something that my audience and myself definitely takes into account, that, wow, this guy just kept on keeping on.
Well, it's not so it's interesting, because when we got profitable and you know, it's been great ever since financially for myself, it didn't mean that the work and the stress and all that was gone. I mean, it right. just meant I had some more money. I had money in my pocket.
Right, you know, right.
Still the deadlines, the rigorous nature of things, proposal writing and cutthroat nature of things were still present. So we sold that company in 2013 and took back a business note, which is how I actually got introduced into the secondary mortgage market space, because I actually sold part of that business note to another investor.
No, that's great. My first investment, Martin, was in 2017, and I bought my first, it was cash. It was in Pennsylvania. It was bank owned. And when I bought it, I resold it for the price that the bank was selling it for. I bought it for $8,000, sold it for $27,28, and I hold the note. So when I saw that you were, you know, we're going to be on the podcast, I was excited. So after saying that,
you just got to do that 100 more times, William.
I know. I did it once. I need to do it as well.
You could be like, oh, I do that weekly.
I want to do that daily, but weekly, I think. You talked about performing and non-performing notes. So for my audience, what's a non-performing note? If you could talk more about that.
Sure, sure. So this is a mortgage note that, let's say, the borrower has gone into default and they haven't made a payment in 4 or 5 years. So I will go and purchase, that mortgage at 20, 30, 40 cents on the dollar, and then work with the borrower to help them stay in their home with the payment they can afford. Now I can give them a payment they can afford because I purchased it at a discount. So I'm able to make certain concessions to make sure that, you know, I give them a plan that they're good with, that it works for me from a return perspective. And so everyone wins, and the borrower gets to stay in their home, which is the most important thing, while creating a cash flow stream for me, which is also pretty important.
No, definitely. So if you don't mind me asking, so how do you find these non-performing notes? Is it something that you have relationships with the bank, or do you just send out like the old school way is sending out through ListSource or these source, you know, these list companies, and you just pretty much taking a crapshoot when you send out a let's say an absentee homeowner or just a homeowner list? Do you do that?
Yeah. So actually, everything's relationship based. So, you know, we focus, and it was really kind of, I did a self-assessment in 2017 when I wrote Note Investing Made Easier, which became an Amazon bestseller. But really at the time, I laid out exactly how I get these notes. It's no secret. Okay. So I focus on building an identity. You know, whereby I have competency, I understand what I'm doing, understand what my buy box is, buying parameters,
yeah.
Understand I have marketing in line with from a branding perspective, And then I go through a process with a seller outreach where I'm reaching out to these hedge funds and other players in the secondary space. And I create a seller's matrix. I'm tracking progress. I have goals. I have activities. And then I use a CRM system on the back end to go and just manage that. And so, you know, through the course of time, you know, you'll see deal flow come to you, and then you have to act on the deal flow. So you have to have all your systems for due diligence in place prior to the deals coming in so that you're able to vet them. Plus you have to have capital lined up. So, you know, if anyone's interested in pursuing the career of note investing, you know, check out Note Investing Made Easier. That's probably a good starting point, or read other note investing books. I think that's always the good thing. Stay away from the white noise, like on Facebook and places where people are just kind of hitting you based on what their angle is. You know, try to just read, you know, from an educational standpoint, some books where authors just kind of, you know, lay out what their day-to-day life is like and you know, how to put something together for yourself.
Yeah, I want to definitely touch base on your book. You mentioned that when you buy the non-performing notes, you get it for 20 or 30 cents on the dollar. Something could be cheaper, maybe a little higher. And when you talk to the homeowner, can you give us a couple of steps? Like, how do you get them to agree to start paying you again?
Yeah, so it's really a combination effect. You know, we work with licensed servicers. So a lot of these servicers are sending out monthly statements. They have a call center, so they're receiving inbound calls from the borrowers that get monthly statements. And they're like, hey, you know, what do I need to do to kind of get back on track? Sometimes we do legal remedies. There is a valid lien on the property. So, you know, any valid lien on any property can foreclose. They have the right to foreclose. Right. So, you know, we can go and send out some legal notices. But at the end of the day, we have a very compassionate approach when we talk to the borrower, in that our whole mission is to help keep them in their home. And we're very open with them about that. And so when borrowers realize that we're genuine and we're trying to work with them and we're on their side and we're not this big bad bank that's just trying to, you know, lay the hammer down on them, and we're actually flexible, we're actually can adjust the monthly payment to lower it down to meet, you know, what they have for disposable income, then it kind of flips, right? And then we start cultivating a very healthy relationship. And guess what happens with healthy relationships? Borrowers tend to make payments to us more than they would to other people when there is a relationship and some level of accountability in place.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love the fact that you're talking to these to the owner or to the borrower and just say, hey, listen, we'll work with you. What can you afford? This is what we could do. This is what we need from you. Mm-hmm. So I love that. So I know you talked about for someone that's new that they want to get into it. I guess it depends on the note, but if somebody wants to get into it, is there money that they need? Or, I mean, are we looking for them to get private money to get into business? Is there a ballpark figure that someone could start with? Is it a couple of thousand, or they need more, or it depends on where in the country they're looking to buy these type of non-performing notes?
So if someone's really serious and they're looking to make a business out of this, I would suggest, you know, they need about 50 to 75K mm-hmm. of capital to really just make, to really kind of pave their way forward. They need to get formal education. They you know, to learn the pitfalls. There's a lot of nuances in this industry that will just kind of clean your clock. Yeah. You know, it sounds great, right? I get on, oh, buy a note, you know, 30 cents on the dollar. You'll be swimming in it in a year later. Like, no, buy a note for 30 cents on the dollar and find out the next day that your lien's not valid. Find out the next day that they file bankruptcy and are stripping you out. Find out that you know, that you're missing signatures on the collateral, and that's gonna bust you out in court. You know what I mean? Like there's just so many pitfalls to it. So you really need to go in with a good foundation from an educational perspective, and you know, attend conferences, get your branding right. All that's gonna cost some money. So you need to have money and commitment. I mean, that makes the world go round, right?
I agree. What's happening in the world today with the pandemic? Did it affect business in any way? And if it did, what did you learn from it?
I learned that don't believe the hype. There's so much news out there, you know, hey, go call your lender and ask for forbearance, you know, stop paying your mortgage, you know, stop paying your rent. And what we have found out is our collectability rates are at all-time highs. And what we're finding when we're talking to borrowers, and because we have, you know, high touch environment, we talk to our borrowers, we're building relationships with them, they're open with us. And what we find out is that they're valuing their home more than they've ever valued their home. They're feeling good, you know, equity spikes in the country, there's shortage of inventory, they're fixing the lawn, they're at home working out of home now, so they're staring at that closet that needs reorganizing, they're remodeling their kitchen, they're building their deck while they should be working at their job and doing all these other things, and they're gaining a deeper appreciation for their home. So that's the last thing they want to lose, and they're going to do whatever they need to do to make payments on it. So we're finding the opposite of what the noise is that's out there.
No, and you're one of many people that I've interviewed said the same thing, that business is skyrocketing. People are paying. People are doing what they're supposed to do. Tell us a little bit more about your book. Is your book more, which is called Note Investing Made Easier, is it like a how-to book? Or obviously that's not the only thing needed. You need more education. But can you talk about more about your book?
Sure. So I've actually written 4 books within the note industry.
Oh, please talk about all of them.
I'll give you kind of the highlights on each one. I mean, you can go to Amazon.com and just punch in my name, Martin Sines, and you will find all the books will pop up.
Yeah, I'll definitely put it on the show notes. Yeah.
Note Investing Made Easier is just a book that just runs through my day. Now, my day is very different now because we buy millions of dollars more of mortgage loans than we did, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Right. But essentially, you know, that's the day in the life of a note investor. So it kind of gives you an expectation to look forward to. The next book is Real Estate Note Investing Mentorship. So I started mentoring. I mentor a few people a year and hold a few workshops a year. I'm not a mass trainer by any means. Like I may do one workshop every quarter, and I have people fly in and see me or Zoom me. And so this was just kind of walks people through what it takes to be formally educated in the note space, and some of the things you need to do to protect yourself so that you mitigate risk. Then I wrote Note Investing Fundamentals, which is one of my favorites, in that I really laid out the case for why you need to set up a note business if you're going to be a successful note investor. It doesn't pay to be a novice. I mean, think of it like the rehabbers that you may know about. You know, they churn and burn, right? They pick up a few houses, they're renovating them and just putting all the sweat into it, and then they sell it, and then they're looking for the next few houses, and they do that for 20 years, and they're just butt tired at the end of, and they're broke. You know, most of them are just kind of broke at the end of the day. And then you know a few rehabbers that have a mass operation, right? They got teams in place, they buy in certain demographics, you know they got their stuff together, systems, and these guys and gals are, you know, turning out 100 properties every quarter or what have you. And so that's kind of like the same mindset that you know, I put across in Note Investing Fundamentals, is how to actually set up a business for yourself so you can scale. And last year I wrote Cash Flow Dojo, which is more of a general book on building one's home on multiple streams of income. So I'm making the case for why, you know, single income is dead in this country, has been for decades.
I agree.
Dual income is dead. That's what a lot of people don't even know. People think like, oh, okay, got wifey at work, you know, hubby's at work, you know, we'll make it out somehow. We got, we're getting double banging on our, with the income coming in monthly. But at the end of the way that the prices are going, the way that inflation, taxes, everything's shooting up, you need much more than two streams of income coming into your family. And so it's your duty as you know, someone running a family that you need to go out and seek additional streams of income, given what you've learned in life, what your expertises are. And people just need to step up and do more for their families. And I know it's a little preachy and judgmental.
No.
That's what I believe.
No, but you know what, though, Martin? I believe the same thing. You got to have multiple streams of income. I mean, if you're going to invest in the stock market, great. But then you need a couple of other side hustles. I agree, 3 to 4 different side hustles to bring in money. So we got Note Investing Made Easier, Real Estate Note Mentoring.
Is that the Real one? Estate Note Investing Mentorship.
Okay. Note Investing Fundamentals and Cash Flow Dojo.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll definitely put those on the show notes. Now, besides your favorite. Oh, in fact, I wanted to backtrack a little bit. Now, in any of these books, do you go into details like how people can find notes in any of the, I definitely suggest to get all four.
Yeah, I'll put in tips, but here's the thing, where notes are the most evident. I mean, you could go to places like PaperStack, Loan MLS. There's websites out there, online market exchanges. You can go there. Yeah. You could buy a note right today, but here it is. The lowest hanging fruit is not always the best for you.
Yeah.
And so to get notes at higher quality, that you need to have relationships. And before you have relationships, you need to have identity, and you need to have your marketing game and your whole branding game put together well. And you need to have a systematic approach by which you're researching and connecting with the right sellers that sell notes within your buying parameters.
Gotcha.
And so once you have that whole system down pat and you're working it, it's not just enough to have the system, right? You have to work it daily. Yeah. And then you have to track your results and make adjustments along the way. And then and only then will you start to see deal flow at which, you know, you'll do well financially from.
No, you got to do it. It's a business from A to Z. Besides your four books, what other books you like? Well, you talked about Rich Dad Poor Dad. Any other book you like to recommend?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm reading a great book right now, Capital Attraction by Matthew Burke. Another one's Hunter Thompson has written a book on, I don't know the name, but just kind of raising capital. Mm-hmm. You know, Michael Gerber, E-Myth is always a favorite.
Great book, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, those are probably... Stevenson, I believe his name is, but Mentored by a Millionaire. That's a really good book for anyone, you know, kind of looking for help from a spiritual perspective. Because at the end of the day, and this is probably a whole other podcast, but I could go on the spiritual tip with you. And to me, like, all of this is very spiritual.
Well, we'll have to have you back on soon. First of all, Martin, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I really appreciate it. My God, you gave us so many golden nuggets. And before you go, what's the best way people can find you?
Just email me, martin@bqfunds.com. Or visit noteinvestingmadeeasier.com, and you can learn about some of the training I have for note investing, or you can just reach out if you're interested in our income fund, which pays an 8% annual return and makes payments monthly.
No, sounds good. Well, again, Martin, thank you so much for being on the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, William.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks. Well, everyone, that was Martin Sines, and you can find him at bqfunds.com. That's B as in boy, Q as in question, funds.com. Martin, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. Really appreciate it. You can find me at peer2peerrealestate.com. That's peer2peerrealestate.com. Check out our past shows and check out our blog. Also, please go to Apple Podcasts. Look for us at Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Podcast. Please subscribe, leave a review. Tell us how we can make this show better. And before I go, guys, there's a couple more things. Do not give up on your dreams. Fight for it, guard it, protect it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. And I really believe if you keep the momentum going, good things will happen. On behalf of Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show, I'm Willie Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and please stay safe. Bye.